Welcome, everybody, to the Competition Archery Media Podcast, where we explore all things pertaining to competition archery. I'm your host, PJ Riley, and our CAM podcast is brought to you by our fine platinum sponsors. We've got Matthews, Trueball Excel, Elite, Hoyt, Easton, PSE, B3 Archery, and Black Eagle Arrows. Great list there, platinum sponsors. And today we have with us, fresh off his Iowa Pro-Am win, Christopher Perkins. Christopher, thanks for being here.
Thank you guys for having me on.
So that's got to be a pretty good New Year's present, right? I guess it was the day after New Year's, January 2nd.
Yeah, kind of a good way to kick off the 2022 season, considering the kind of the amount of preparation that I did put into it. I mean, I shot my bow a little bit, but I certainly didn't shoot it near enough, or what I thought was enough. But when they said this is your score, it kind of all come back to me. So,
so it, that's good. It was the Iowa Pro-Am, which is kind of, I mean, that's kind of seen as the unofficial launch to the pro indoor season. It seems like that seems to be the first one that kind of most everybody goes to.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great warm up to kind of knock the rust off from the off season and kind of get back into the swing of things. And I always enjoy shooting that one. It's kind of the best of both worlds when it comes to the five spot and the three spot. So so it just kind of, it kind of, tells you where you are as far as your preparation goes, and whether your setup, how it feels at home and versus how it feels in competition is, obviously two very different things. So it's a good one to just kind of go and work on some things and make some changes along the way if need be.
So the first day you shoot 60 arrows at the five spot, the typical NFA face, and then the second day you shoot the Vegas face 30 arrows, but you score 11. So it's kind of a 330 Vegas round.
Correct. Yeah. So the five spot is X's are six. And then, when it comes to the Vegas round, the X's are 11.
So through 90 arrows, you missed one X.
Correct. Yeah. I think it was relatively early too on day two. I think it was like second end or something. So,
oh, is that right?
I wasn't too far into it. I said, that was fun while it lasted, like I said, it was, I think it was relatively early in the round. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty positive. I think it was end two or something, my second arrow or whatever, but.
So you met, and then you go into shoot off because there was you and was James Ball, just the two of you were tied for score after those
Correct.
Two rounds? Okay.
Yeah. So him and I were both one down, 689 out of 690 going into the shoot off.
Okay. And then what happens there? How does that work?
I'm trying to remember how many ends we went. I think we went four, potentially five. I'm not 100% sure there, but it's basically first end. Obviously, your practice, one end of practice, and then your first end for score is regular scoring, so X's is 11s. And then they actually do it a little bit different there. Each end after the first end of regular scoring, the X's are then scored inside out.
Gotcha.
As 11th. So, I mean, I think he was shooting, I want to say, like a 27 series shaft, and so was I. So, I mean, you don't have a lot of room for error there when it comes to inside out scoring on X's.
Yes. Did you hit any?
I believe three. So, I think him and I, on the first end of inside out, we both shot a 31. So each of us had an inside out. And then end two, I had an inside out, but I also shot a big nine.
Really?
So, yeah. It fired a little quick on me.
Oh, gotcha.
And then he didn't have any inside outs. And then my last one, I shot an inside out. So we both scored, we both scored 30 on that one. And then I want to say the next end was where I shot a 31 and he shot a 30. So I had another inside out.
Were you freaking out a little bit when you hit that nine?
Not really. I mean, I kind of figured that it fired right there, but I think my last arrow in that end was the arrow that I shot inside out.
No kidding.
So I might have been a little pressure there, I think.
But, you recovered.
Yeah.
So going into that, so tell us, what did you do for preparation? Because I think I saw you post that you didn't do much.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly didn't shoot as much as I felt like I needed to. Obviously, I posted a few scores probably on my Instagram or whatever. I think I might have shot maybe a dozen Vegas rounds. You know, had a couple 30s in there, but I've been shooting this particular bow in this like arrow combination for the past 3 indoor seasons. So, I mean, it's just basically go back in my notes, make the changes from outdoors, and then just basically throw the rest in the arrows back on the bow. And I mean, it's good to go. But so, I mean, I'm not really having to do a lot of searching when it comes to, really looking for that perfect indoor setup. Cause like I said, I've been shooting this one for the past 3 years. So, I've made notes along the way, over the years and, yeah. So, I mean, realistically, I didn't have to like completely build a whole new setup and try and figure it out before a tournament. So I think that benefits, you know, quite a bit when it comes to knowing your equipment and knowing the setup.
Before we go into into what your setup is. So you're not one who you don't need a ton of arrows to get back in the groove, kind of, so to speak.
Well, yes and no. I feel like I said, going into the tournament, I knew the setup itself was ready. As far as myself, I felt like I might have lacked a little bit there. I don't know if you've seen or whatever, but I refer like on social media and stuff on Facebook and Instagram that, you know, sometimes my shots feel a little choppy when it comes to transitioning from the off season to, you know, tournament season. And basically what I mean by that is it just like, it's almost like I don't 100% trust myself on the shot. So everything it doesn't really flow quite as smooth as I would like to when it comes to executing the release. So I kind of consider that, you know, obviously being a little choppy and then obviously, you know, not spending a boatload of time behind the tournament bow. And you and I have talked before, you know, obviously still shooting a bow during the off season, but, you know, hunting bow versus a tournament rig. And quite a bit different on weight and, you know, feel. It's definitely different. So
yeah, but I'm guessing you still felt pretty confident. Obviously, you were confident in your bow, and I'm guessing you felt pretty good about yourself.
Yeah, and it was kind of weird. I mean, I was shooting, a couple days for practice here, and then got there, and I was shooting. Shooting practice there and everything just was kind of like, not really entirely sure how the weekend's going to go. Obviously I would like it to feel a little bit better, but, as soon as they said, this end is for score, it just kind of all come back to me. So that was a nice feeling.
And this was your third win of the Iowa Pro-Am.
Yeah. I think 2016, 2018, and then this year. Are the years that I've won this one.
Right.
Or that one, I guess.
Yeah. So let's dive into what is your setup?
So basically, I'm still shooting the TRX 40. Like I said, been shooting that particular one for 3 years now, both indoors and outdoors. I shoot the 40 on the ASA circuit as well. This one, 61.5 pounds. I'm shooting a Easton 2712 with 250 grains in the front. I believe the arrow is 31 inches. I don't venture too far from 30 or 31. That's always been my go-to setup. I've shot that for a long time. So 4-inch flex fletch, bite or knock, True Ball XL, XP sight, Shrewd Essential scope with a 5-power lens. I shoot a 2mm black dot, both indoor and outdoor, depending on the venue. When it comes to outdoor, so like Redding, for instance, I'll run that same lens combination. Obviously, ASA, I run an up pin, but and then the stabilizers, running the Shrewd Rev X's. Not entirely sure what I have as far as weight on the front and back. I want to say there's 17 on the front and like probably close to 23 or 24 on the back. And on a 30-inch front and a 12-inch side rod.
And your rest is the swap?
The Spot Hog swap edge, I believe it is. Yep.
And then, of course, the release. Let's talk about that.
Was running the new executive, so I've been I've been shooting that one for the last, I want to say, better part of a year now. Obviously, last year, working on that, making sure, putting it through its paces, making sure that it is, you know, ready for other people to get their hands on, and made necessary changes throughout the year last year. So anything that I won last year was also with that particular release, but obviously we had to kind of keep that on the DL. So
Well, let's run through that. You won Redding, you won ASA Shooter of the Year, and I forget which in the known pro division, ASA Shooter of the Year known pro, and I forget which tournaments. I know Foley at least, and then also
Foley and Coleman.
Okay. Gotcha. So that's pretty good. And then you win something this fall.
Second in Texas at the ASA and all that, but this fall.
Or what was the event you represented Canada? You went to.
That was the World Championships, but I finished top 8 there.
Gotcha. So you're kind of multifaceted. You shoot everything. When you think of yourself, do you consider yourself indoor or what? Okay, you're classifying Christopher Perkins. What do you say?
Like you said, I mean, I've kind of done it all. I've won, almost in every venue of archery. Field. I've won the outdoor nationals back in 18, I think it was. So, I don't really think I have one that I shine more so over the other. The ASA, there's more of them, and I, have won, whether it be one a year or a few a year. So I guess as far as, something reoccurring, I guess you're probably going to see me winning more of those than, when it comes down to like indoor stuff. But yeah, like you said, I mean, I have one in almost every venue. The only one that I don't have is an indoor nationals, which is the 5-spot. But when it comes to everything else, excluding World Archery stuff, I've pretty much won them all.
Yeah, you got, so indoor season, I always think of, okay, Iowa Pro-Am, that's first. You got 3 of those. The LAS Classic is up next. You won that. What did we say? It was 18? I can't remember what year you won that.
For the Classic Lancaster 2015.
15. And then, of course, Vegas, you won that. Now starting off with a win at Iowa Pro-Am, how does that set you up coming, going forward with the Classic here in 3 weeks, I think it is now?
It obviously boosts, your confidence going into the remaining of the season, especially, it literally just starting off. I still feel like I've got some things to work on, not so much the setup, more so myself. And that's just, that's just due to, not shooting a ton. So I don't feel like I'm, 100%, conditioned. And basically what I mean by that is obviously throughout the year, we're shooting so much that we don't really have to invest a lot of time, on ourselves, because, I mean, we are shooting all the time. So we are in that shooting shape. And, but right now for me, just like I said, I haven't shot near enough to where I really feel, you know, 100% confident in myself. And I guess, you know, obviously as the day progresses, you know, I get a little bit of fatigue there, but, you know, like I said, the setup is really good. And it's just more so boiling down on, I have to just kind of hone and polish myself up for the rest of the year.
Well, is it just me, or it seems like the indoor scores these days are getting insane, that no longer is a 300 the standard, but a 300 with 30 X's has to be like the new standard now. It just seems like everybody's getting ridiculous with how consistent you guys are hitting the middle in the, you know, in your class, the male pro class, senior pro class. I mean, that's, you shot a 29X and so did someone else.
I mean, and 28 X's is, I mean, that's certainly not a score to, you know,
heck
shake
no.
at, but I mean, the fact that there was, I don't even know how many, 7 or 8, I mean, it might even have been more at 2 down. The fact that they're shooting for the final, you know, podium position is kind of, like you said, it's kind of, you know, mind blowing a little bit that the competition is so stiff and that the scores are, you know, nearly perfect at almost every event. I mean, there's just not, there's not a big room, you know, big margin for error there.
Yeah. What do you do? How do you? Well, let's talk first about your sight picture. What are you doing with your dot when you're aiming at the Vegas face?
I mean, it'll float inside the 10 ring. So it never really, I mean, unless I do something crazy, but it never really leaves the 10 ring. And my sight picture that I see at 20 yards, and like there again, I'm running a 5-power lens with a 2mm black dot. That just fits inside the big 10. So, I mean, the X is completely covered. And then I just have a tiny, tiny bit of room around that 10 ring. And really that's basically what I'm centering on. I can't see the X ring, but I can see the 10 ring.
You can see it
with my, yeah. So, I mean, it, like I said, it basically just kind of floats inside there. And then, I mean, obviously if I'm doing everything, you know, that I should be doing, and, you know, the shot breaks at the, you know, the time it needs to break at, then should be no reason that it shouldn't be an X. But
I can see yellow. I can see yellow and red. That's what I can see. I can't see any rigs.
I mean, but everybody's different when it comes to visual sight picture too, right? Like you'll see a lot of people run a fairly large dot. You know, whether it be completely cover the yellow, it just boils down to more or less what they like to see or what they don't like to see, I guess.
Right. Let's go back to talking about that release. So the executive, that's the new one, that you helped design with Trubone. As you said, you shot it last year, won a bunch of stuff. But this is the first Christopher Perkins Signature Series release. Tell me how you got that idea in your mind, and I guess we should run down that it's a hinge style release. You know, you got the two moons for adjusting fire and click to fire. You can independently adjust them, but of course, the big thing, the big different thing, is that adjustable head, so you can move it in and out. Where did that idea come from? How did it go through, you know, your working with Trubone to get to that end product? Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I've been running a version of it for quite some time now. But just over the years, especially myself, you know, I've felt there again, touching back on when I say the bow at home feels really good. And then you can get to a tournament and the bow in a tournament situation can feel completely different. Myself, you may not have, or anybody else, you may not have the access to a bow press or, you know, a paper tuner or something when you get to a tournament. And so I, you know, just kind of brainstormed ideas on
something that has never really ever been done before. And, you know, basically what everybody did was, you know, play with cables or play with D-loop length. And all that stuff can change tune slightly. You know, when it comes to playing with cables, you've now over-rotated the cam, you've now increased your bow weight, you've increased draw length. So you have changed a lot. And I mean, it doesn't take a lot, you know, a half twist or a twist here is enough shift for, you know, someone like myself that I can feel that. So, coming in and really sitting down and designing, that release, you know, I basically said to them, like, look, I really think that, you know, if we had something that we could adjust the head length without somebody having to, you know, go to a bow press and adjust their cables, that I think people would really benefit from this. And then, you know, and then obviously having the two independent sears, Trueball does make, the other releases as far as like the HPC goes, where you can change, to a fast click, slow click, or no click. I wanted to be able to have really an all-in-one release where you could essentially tailor it to you, the shooter, how you want your hand to your face relationship, and really being able to make everything just kind of go, you know, extremely well together. And, you know, being able to adjust, you know, like you said, the overall speed of the release, and then being able to adjust the click, or, you know, if you wish, no click at all in one. It's just a lot easier for people to do that on the fly now. You know, I was playing with mine, you know, as far as length goes in Iowa quite a bit.
Oh, really?
You know, I played with my click length. I played with my speed. Yeah. And there again, like I said, you know, at home, it feels really good. But then when you get into, you know, a pressure situation, things start to change a little bit. So I'm really big when it comes to shot timing. So I want to be able to have, the ability to, you know, adjust all of that stuff and you know, make that release fit me and, you know, obviously fit others too.
So from your shooting at home, then when you got to the tournament, what did you find you were doing as far as, did you find you had to make things faster or slower or?
Yeah. So I felt like the bow was a little short. So, I mean, I think I might've turned that screw maybe a 16th of a turn. And quite honestly, it doesn't seem like a lot, you know, a 16th of a turn. So, I mean, it might only be moving that head length, maybe a couple 30 seconds, but it's enough for me to be able to feel that when I get back into my anchor and feel that I'm, you know, a little bit more in line, after making that adjustment. And then I also felt my length from when I anchored and started aiming, my speed from my click to click fire, was a little different. So I, made an adjustment on the speed itself. And then I also made the adjustment, from the click to fire. So there again, might've only been like a couple thousandths, but enough for me to be able to feel that.
And were you doing this during competition or in between, like, or around it?
Well, the main adjustments that I did was right before the first scoring end of the five spot.
Ah, okay.
Once I had that set up and feeling how I wanted it to feel, I didn't touch it after that.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. That is amazing to be able to do all that. Like you said, right there on the line, you don't have to go off. You don't have to get to a bow press. And I feel fortunate that you happened to leave one here earlier this year that I've kind of commandeered for myself and I've been shooting it. And I've been telling you that I don't have your experience. All I know is what I feel, and just something about the geometry of that release, the pressure points, it just makes the shots for me flow nice and easy. I'm not struggling to get that thing to go off, which is an issue that I always have. I get hung up at full draw, the click goes off, and then nothing happens. And I don't have that.
Yeah, you're able to adjust that. So, I mean, if you did have issues, you know, like, you know, whether it be halfway through or around, you just find that after the click, it just seems like it's super long. Then you are able to make, you know, a small change to make that shot flow a little bit easier.
Yeah. And now working with Trueball to do this, I mean, do you just call them up and say, here, I'd like the release to do this, and then they whip something up, or how does that relationship work?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been shooting for Trueball XL for, I believe since 2012. So I've got a really good relationship with them. And I mean, it basically just kind of boiled down to, you know, Greg had come to me and said, do we make your release yet? And I said, no, we don't. And he's just like, well, why? And I'm like, well, I don't know. It's not my company. So, I mean, we had a sit down with Mark. Like I said, I basically said, this is what I'm after. This is what I want it to do. He went to work in designing it, and we had a prototype, within a few weeks. So
that's great. And then, you play with it and then go back and say, here, this, you know, may need some adjustment. This is good. I'm guessing that's,
yeah. Yeah. So I only made a small change, throughout, probably half the season. I wanted a couple things just slightly different, and, we made that change, and, now we're at where we are today. And
that's awesome. Yeah. And from what I've seen and heard, like, the response to this thing has been kind of off the charts. I mean, it's not out yet, but the pre-orders for that have been incredible.
Yeah. It's, like I said, they've got some good traction with it. I think, it's kind of been something people have been wanting. And like I said, I feel, you know, honored to be able to work with Trueball and to have my name on something. And I hope, you know, I hope people enjoy it as much as I do. And you know, they're able to, you know, have success with it.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. So coming up, as we mentioned, we have the Classic next, and you said you feel like you got to work on some things. Is preparation for the Classic any different than anything else? I mean, it's still indoor 18 meters shooting at the three spot, but there is you get into the shoot off phase. There's more of that. Does that mean anything in your preparation?
Not really. I mean, I'm obviously going to prepare the same way I would, any other event. You guys do have that new format when it comes to the top eight, so that might be a little interesting. I don't have any of those targets.
Right. I meant to ask you about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have actually any of those targets with that little white dot there. So that itself could be a little challenge, because I would assume my pin would cover that up completely.
I'm going to guess, because I can't see it.
And I think it would kind of be a little bit of a mind game when it comes to covering something up and your pin is in the red.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not going to prepare any different for it than I would any other event. Like I said, I've got some stuff to work on myself. I don't think it's going to take me very long to kind of get to where I want to be. Like you said, we've got 3 weeks, I guess.
Yeah.
So that'll be plenty of time to feel, 100% prepared for it and, ready to tackle on the remaining season.
So obviously what you're talking about is the we have a new target for the finals of the Lancaster Archery Classic that features a 12 ring. It is, I forget what the number was, 4 centimeters or millimeters. I'm not good with that. It's basically just a little bit larger than the diameter of a 27 shaft. I know that. And it sits between the 7 and 8 ring, right on the line there. So it's in a dangerous place. Obviously, risk reward we're going for there. Do you think, is this something where you would consider like set having a second lens set up or something like that? Like with a smaller dot or, you know, something different like that? Or do you like to stick with what you got?
I mean, I'd probably stick with what I have. I don't know if switching a lens in the middle of an event would be the best idea. I mean, not saying it wouldn't work, but I don't know. I think it's going to really kind of throw people for a loop, but I think it's certainly going to make things definitely interesting when it comes to the shoot off. And, you know, if you're, you know, a point or two back, then like you said, it's a risk for reward, right? So it's, I think it's definitely going to be interesting when it comes to watching it and seeing how people react to it.
Right, right. I know I talked to Rio and Logan Wild about it, and they were kind of saying if people aren't shooting perfect scores, you know, certainly the leader probably isn't going to take that risk. Just keep shooting 11s. And, you know, until something happens that forces you, that you're in a position where you need to catch up or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, if you're a few points back, then yeah, I mean, it's certainly an opportunity to gain that ground back and make things interesting.
Yeah. So then the very next week you go to Vegas, and I believe this is the closest those two shoots have ever been. If I'm not mistaken, usually I think there's a week in between the two of them. Does that matter at all, having two big tournaments like that, two weekends in a row? What does that do for pros like you?
I don't really think it's going to, I don't know if mess people up is the right word, but I don't really think it's going to hurt anybody. I think it's going to boil down to, if you're ready for Lancaster, I think you'll be ready for Vegas. But if you're not ready for Lancaster, then I don't think you're going to find it in a week. But but who knows? I mean, everybody's different. But for me, I think it's just kind of, you know, do well in Lancaster and just kind of keep the ball rolling going into Vegas. But I think for the big guys, I don't think you're really going to see any issues there. You know, with it being so close, like you said, literally the weekend after. So
when you get in, you've been into many of the Vegas finals, shooting a 900 there. When you get to that finals, now you're shooting, you know, it's the last group of guys, however many, I think I was there one year, it was like 22 or 23. But what's that like? How different is that from then shooting your, you know, 300 rounds? It's, you're on the same floor. Obviously it's decorated differently. But talk a little bit about the difference then moving into, okay, now we're in the finals at the Vegas shoot.
Yeah, it's certainly a different feeling. You know, being able to capture that 900 and then walking out on that floor. I mean, each year it grows and grows. So, I mean, it's, for me, I don't really get out there and you know, feel, you know, cool, calm, and collective. It's definitely nerve-wracking, and I mean, everybody has nerves, and everybody handles nerves slightly different. But for me, it's just, I don't know. I try and feed off the energy from the people in the crowd, and I mean, you're standing there, you're at full draw, and everybody's shooting. I mean, you can literally hear a pin drop in that arena. It's crazy because, I mean, there's 3,000 or more people watching. And, I mean, they let you know when you make a mistake. So,
ooh, yeah, you hear
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but it's different. I mean, it's definitely a good feeling. I think everybody, you know, everybody wants to capture that 900. Everybody wants to, you know, step out on that floor and experience that. And for us, it is the Super Bowl of archery, and you know, it is one of those big things that everybody wants to win it, right? So, I mean, everybody on that floor, everybody that has shot the 900 or whatnot, I mean, we all have one goal in mind when we're standing out there, and it's, you know, at the end of the day, be Vegas champion.
So you shoot those three major indoor tournaments. You know, Vegas will be, that'll be the last, the very end of January, beginning of February. I forget where that falls. I think it's February date in there. And then what, 3 weeks later, you're in Foley, Alabama shooting 3D.
Yep.
How is that turnaround? That's got to be, I mean, are you going up through Vegas? Are you even thinking about a 3D target, let alone shooting at one?
No. Quite honestly, when it comes to Foley, Foley will be the first time I'll look at a 3D target and shoot a 3D target since the Classic. Okay. Which for me, I mean, we got snow on the ground and it's minus whatever out. I mean, I've got targets, but I haven't put my targets out in years. So, I mean, I think we've touched on that briefly, on a different, podcast or, you know, just you and I have talked about it. I don't really shoot a lot of the 3Ds, you know, as far as practice goes. So, I mean, I'll shoot the 10 practice targets at the event to make sure that the setup is good to go. But for me this year, I'm going to be running this exactly the same setup as I did the last two seasons. Same bow, same arrows. So I don't really, there again, I'm not really having to search for a setup or a, you know, prime setup for that. I pretty much have faith in it from last year and the year before. So
I don't know how enjoyable that would be to try and pull an arrow out of a foam target at like minus 10 degrees. That thing might stick in there pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think it would be the greatest. I wouldn't want to be shooting at minus 10 anyway.
So, come on. You go out there in a short sleeve shirt, take a couple shots.
Yeah.
Be invigorating.
Yeah. Take my buddy heater with me and a bunch of hand warmers.
So, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, besides all this archery stuff, is your other interests, because you got a lot of other interests. I mean, people might think, oh, Christopher Perkins, he wins all these different archery tournaments. That must be all he does is just shoot his bow and sit around there. But that's not the case. Tell us about some of the other things you're into besides archery.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much it boils down to anything shooting. I'm certainly big into guns. I've got a relatively large gun collection, you know, as far as 22s, shotguns, rifles. I do spend a little bit of time at the reloading bench.
Muzzleloaders.
That stuff, but
you got a bunch of muzzleloaders.
Yep. I got a few of them. Yep. Finished one up this, well, this year had a barrel made for one of my Encores. So, and actually harvested a deer with it there this year. So it's definitely interesting, but yeah, I mean, I'm not really archery all the time. I like to kind of split it up, whether it be, you know, go to the gun club after an event or whatever. It's just kind of a nice reset. So it's not archery 24/7, 365. So, to me, it's just, like I said, it's a nice to just kind of get my mind off of things and, you know, just kind of do other things that I enjoy as well.
Your dad's into, like, is it trap or sporting clays?
So, yeah, I mean, Dad used to shoot competitive sporting clays years ago. So, yeah, as far as the shotgun stuff goes, I pretty much say, well, I mean, shooting in general, I pretty much learned from him.
Yeah. Do you guys get to still go out and, you know, shoot some rounds and stuff like that when you're home?
Yeah, he'll go to the gun club once in a while with me. The gun club actually close to here used to have like a team shoot in August, so right before our duck season opens, and so him and I used to go to that and be on a team. But obviously, the last couple of years with the whole COVID thing, they haven't done it. But yeah, so I mean, we go out and team up and enjoy that time together. And. And he shoots a little bit too, not as much as we used to. Him and I used to travel pretty much every weekend in the summer, shooting all the 3Ds, local 3Ds. And then him and I also used to shoot the IBO Worlds each year. So, but we haven't done that. And I think 2009 was the last year that him and I shot an IBO IBO World Championship together.
Speaking of the traveling, I know last year was a crazy year for you as far as travel, as far as how much you were away from home. Is it looking like this year may be a little more normal?
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a little bit easier. I guess I honestly shouldn't really say that because everything is changing.
It's all a guess, but
I don't think I'm going to have to spend months or weeks at a time stateside this year. So I think I'm going to have a little bit more freedom being able to go back and forth. The land crossing is open now, so I'm able to drive instead of having to fly. So, I mean, that is certainly going to make it a lot easier. Spending so much time down there last year, I don't think I've ever shot my bow more.
Oh, is that right?
So, I mean, not really anything else to do, right? So it's just, you know, work on the equipment, work on myself, shoot. And I mean, you know, I spent a month or so in Lancaster there. So, I mean, it's in the shop and just playing with stuff and helping the guys out at the showroom. So it was good.
I'm sorry, Chris, I'm going to state it for all the world to hear right now, but we did shoot a 3D and I have to mention that I beat you on one target.
You did. Yeah.
out of 40.
Yeah.
That's my only claim to fame. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure mine was luck.
Yeah, and then what did we get? 3/4 of the way through a field round, it started a torrential downpour on us.
Yes, that's the most miserable round of archery I have ever shot. All I wanted it to be was over.
Yeah.
Your tournament schedule this year, is there anything different, anything new, or is it pretty much the usual stuff that you shoot? ASAs, Indoor Nationals, Redding.
Pretty much the same schedule again. I don't think there's anything new that I'm attending or not attending. Like I said, ASAs, NFAA stuff. I did see that the Dakota Classic was at the end of August, so that one might be an interesting one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's getting kind of close to hunting season, but I mean, pretty much everything else is going to stay exactly the same. I don't foresee myself adding any more. I mean, it's already jam packed. Actually, this year is actually looks really good as far as spacing between events. Usually, Foley is a weekend or two right after Vegas. And I think, like you said, this year, I think we got 3 weeks. So that'll actually be nice to kind of reset, you know, put the indoor target bow down and grab the 3D bow. But there again, like I said, I'm not really going to have to do too much as far as a setup there. Obviously build some new arrows and make sure that the bow is good to go, but I'm going to run exactly the same thing I ran last year.
All right, folks, that is another episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. Christopher Perkins, we certainly appreciate you taking time to be with us today.
I appreciate you guys.
All right, folks, the CAM Podcast. You can find us on all the platforms where you find your favorite podcasts. Thanks for being with us today.